When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome in to 11 Personnel, presented by Monticello Bank. I'm Nick Roush. He's Adam Luckett, and we are live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, where I am officially on the clock.
You are.
Caleb Williams is going to be joining us today at the Chicago Bears table. Pardon the delays, but we've been running around looking for the good internets. I don't know if they have many good internets here. But we've commandeered some tables at Radio Row. I'm a Chicago
place
Bear.
We're probably not supposed to be.
Yeah, who are you today, Bucket?
John Harbaugh.
John Harbaugh, not Jim?
Mm-hmm.
Easy to get those mistaken.
I mean, the bad guys on the AFC North, but it's okay.
Yeah. So bear with us, if you will. No pun intended. It's been a fun 24 hours here. I guess a little bit more than 24, where we've been speaking to Kentucky players, speaking to some other folks in the media, and just a who's who of people. It's a fun, silly little NFL convention that we're in the middle of here in Indy. Great people watching. Always love the people watching here, Luckett, because you get a hodgepodge of media, front office folks. It's like, oh, there's Chris Carter. Oh, there's Jamie Erdahl. Oh, hey, Stacey Dales. Who is the fan? We saw the fantasy football lady. Well, she does the injuries. Who's that?
Vanya Bell.
Yeah, she was here. She wasn't holding up any x-rays. I thought that's just what she did. She just towed around x-rays all day, but that's not the case.
Yeah, I think for us, Nick, in the NFL media world, this is like their media days, right? Media days for us is what this event is, and we just kind of get to crash it this week. Not really for us, but we're here and we're doing things, which is fun to see. Just kind of, we're not in the NFL space very much, to see how the NFL operates, and it's a huge ordeal. It's a traveling circus. This thing lasts over a week. Like, these teams are here for 8 days, and a lot of media members are here for 7 days, and so it is a marathon. Here it's the biggest pre-draft event. It's one of the biggest NFL events of the year, and it's a huge football convention. There's a lot of networking, glad handing going on. Agents,
oh yeah,
right. They're talking to front office people. You know, go back and forth conversations. The agency's about to start, so there's a lot of preliminary talks, if you want to call that. Maybe even some contract negotiation going on. So there's a lot of business being handled here. You know, we see the prospects and we get to talk to them, and they have a full extensive job interview. The most important part of this week is the medicals they get done, and they're starting that process. But meanwhile, there's other stuff going on too. And so it's really important event. It's the start of a new year, really, in a lot of ways. And it's fun to be part of it, and fun to be just involved in what a circus that it is. But it's definitely a fun circus. And again, you know, at least the draft has become just a total monster. Like, right across, right above us, Nick, is where they shoot the ESPN videos, right? You know, the draft video everyone sees where they're walking out on the big platforms or whatever, and the show on draft. Now, shoot those here. So there's just a lot of business that goes down this week, and it's fun to be part of it. And you never know what you're going to see or who you're going to see walking through Starbucks or at Kilroy's or walking in the Salmos.
That's the this year in particular, where there is a lot of opting out happening, right? You know, the bench press used to be this huge event where we had like an arena set up to watch these guys throw around 225 pounds. That's no more, right? Last year we had pretty much every top quarterback except Bryce Young participate on Saturday, and this year, Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jane Daniels, none of them are going to participate. There's a lot of opt-outs. Only three linebackers ran the three cone drill yesterday. So the testing standpoint, like I get it. It's not for everybody. But what I've come to learn and know is that the stuff that happens behind the scenes is so much more important than what's happening out there at Lucas Oil Stadium, right? It's all of the what other people are hearing, who you're talking to. That's the where the real magic is made during the combine. It's the stuff that you don't see on camera. It's what's happening behind closed doors. And I think that's also applied to the prospects, too, when they're interviewing with these teams. Speaking with Drew Phillips a few weeks ago, you know, he was like, I can't wait for this. You know, like he's looking forward to it. Him and I think Ray Davis would both do really well in the interview portion of the combine. And both of those guys have already met formally with quite a few teams. And I if you made me pick, Trevin's Wallace's athleticism is all obviously going to take him places. But I think Drew might end up being the first cat taken, followed by Trevin and then Ray Davis. I think that's going to be the order.
I think that you're onto something there. I think smart money is probably Phillips going off the board first, just talking Kentucky prospects. And I think there's a real, real good chance that he could go off the board in the second. Where in the second, to be determined. But it feels like early round three is kind of his floor right now. He's really impressed people. And I think the NFL and really college football even, slot cornerback is such an important position. You have to have a good player there. And Phillips was kind of going back and forth two positions this year, but played slot cornerback last year, and there's just, I think, a lot of people like. He brings the table, and then Nick, I think, Senior Bowl was really important for him. Like, he was Senior Bowl, had a performance, and that kind of solidified a two pick for him. I mean, we're talking, he's going to get drafted above where Mike Edwards got drafted. Mike Edwards, round three, number 99 overall. I mean, we're talking second round. It's been Kel Joseph and Lonnie Johnson. That's really all in the second round. Bolden, third round pick. Josh Haskell, what? Haskell, second round or third round?
Yeah, he was in second. The second round. Yeah.
Yeah, so that, you know, you're in that kind of territory with Bolden and Haskell. Will Levis, second round last year. So, I mean, a really good story, kind of a development story, I think, for Kentucky, right? In the transfer portal era. You know, Kentucky's doing a good job of finding us, but Andrew Phillips was a three-star recruit from South Carolina that they got developed for a couple years behind the scenes, became a star in year three, and then became a second-round pick in year four. I mean, those are, you know, it was a surprise that Phillips left, but those are the type of development stars you need to have in a program like Kentucky to show kids this is what we do. We take you, you stay 4 years here, we're going to get you into the NFL, and you're going to do a good spot, a good position. If you stay here, you don't necessarily even need to be, you know, Phillips was a good, very valuable piece for Kentucky, but knowing the SEC had him rated as one of their defensive backs in the league, but he's going to go off and he's going to be, you know, I think he's right there with Mike Sansto out of Michigan as the top cornerbacks, and he's going to be one of the higher taken defensive backs overall. So, really, he's kind of the story of, I think, the whole event and whole pre-draft process for Kentucky.
Yeah, and if he does get selected, we're thinking that's going to happen. He'll be the sixth defensive back from Kentucky in the last six seasons, which, not too shabby. Not too shabby at all. And Maxwell Harrison could make it a seventh in 7 years next year. So that's something to look forward to. It's pretty plain to see that Ray Davis is going to be talked about a lot, more so for his story off the field than what you might see on the field. Because he'll, you know, Ray was great last year, but he is older. He's got some tread on the tires. The pass catching ability is going to make him go higher, but he's a day three pick like it. But
yes,
the way that, you know, how he came from the foster care system, he was homeless, right, for some time. That story is going to be told time and time again, not only when he's working out Saturday afternoon at Lucas Oil Stadium, but on draft day. They're probably going to have some long feature on Ray. And the way he talks about it, too, just wanting to be to kind of give hope for other kids who are going through that. Like, it's you're going to hear a lot about Ray Davis at draft time for what he's overcome to reach this point. And, you know, he's already had, I think, six formal interviews. So he's going to get taken by somebody. And with his ability to be a quote-unquote third down back, I think he's going to have some staying power in this league for a while.
Yeah, with a Ray Davis thing. Zach Kiefer, of course, for The Athletic, wrote that big feature on him, just talking about everything he's gone through. And we've talked about that from being in foster care. And then even, like, to me, his college story is kind of remarkable, right? You know, he's a low three-star recruit, goes to Bull, uses that, has a good performance, uses that to move up a level, goes to Vanderbilt, gets hurt his first year there, comes back, has a great season, uses that to get to a better opportunity. Goes to Kentucky and really just cashes in on that. Like, when you talk about the portal era, what it can present, this is one of the good stories of it. He used them to his advantage in college football portal and moved up, and now that's going to make him a, you know, I would say, early fourth round draft pick, which kind of would be the where I'd have him marked, fourth or fifth round. And then maybe if, because a lot of this depends on Nick, when does the run start at the position, right? Yeah, that's really what determines where a lot of these guys go off board. Because run starts early at running back, he can be able to sneak into third round, but I don't expect it to. So you're probably looking at fourth, fifth round for him. But really just, I mean, it's a terrific story overall. From what all he's come in his personal life and then in college to really work and grind to get to this point. Now he's going to be a draft pick. And he's, you know, these when they draft fourth round, like sixth round, like we saw with Chris Rodriguez and the Commanders last year, there's chances to play. They're drafting you to play at that position, by the way, even though you're a day three pick. And for him, he's going to have a chance to play. And the Tampa Bay Bucks were a team mentioned with him. The New England Patriots, who need a lot of help on offense. Cincinnati Bengals, who might be getting rid of Joe Mixon, who will need another back. Those are just some of the teams mentioned for him. But whoever gets him, he's going to go in and be able to play right away in Kentucky. He's going to have, again, another tailback drafted here in the NFL, and that's they had a handful of those here recently.
We are here on Radio Row, where I'm just going to apologize for some whatever technical difficulties we're going through. It's kind of out of our hands. Normally, we get the hell out of here and do a show from good Wi-Fi to hotel. We're actually leaving as soon as this is over with. So apologies for that. We like to put the people first because, like our presenting, there's Montel Bay, that people matter. You matter at Monticello Bank. They're over 125 years. They've been taking care of customers across Kentucky. Getting the best numbers to get them to work on your side, whether you're getting a home, auto loan, or just doing some personal financing, some little business here and there. Monticello Bank, they will take care of you. Visit them at nbcbank.com. Monticello Bank, Equal Housing Lender, Member FDIC. I think I got those backwards. Something like that. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. There we go. Monticello Bank.
Oprah.
They're the best. Trevin Wallace was the first cat to go through the drills, and he is a top 100 linebacker in the history of the combine. That is according to the relative athletic score made by Kentley Platt. Ran a 4.5. That's pretty good for a linebacker. Look it. He lived up to that high school track ability, was explosive. The only reason why he didn't make more headlines is just because Plus Turner was been 4 inches in the air like a crazy person.
Yeah, and then Peyton Wilson had the 4.44, I think, NC State linebacker. But Trevin, I think he backed up what we thought and what there was high testing day, I think, expectations for him. So like he had a solid senior, but he backs it up with good testing. I think he's another guy that probably locked up fourth, fifth round pick this week. Trevin still, I think, got some to do. We saw where you see glimpses of domination, and then you would see some bad eyes, misfits, stuff of that nature. But he's shown playmaking too, so there's a lot to like about him. He's still a young player, three and done guy at Kentucky, so he's going to be another guy, I think, fourth, fifth round. And again, Nick, I think, you know, all linebackers, they all have chances to play early typically. So I think I'd be very interested to see who drafts him and what that depth chart looks like at linebacker. Because he's a guy I could think you could expect to maybe come in and play heavy snaps right away. When we know that for sure on special teams. Where does that testing data show up? That helps. A lot of stuff can show up on special teams, right? Kick coverage.
That's true.
And all of that. And that's what he's going to be drafted to do right away from the jump, whether he's, you know, competing for a starting spot or linebacker four, linebacker five, or whatever roster he gets on. They're going to depend on him to provide kick coverage immediately. So I think for him, he did a good job. I think the big question with Evan was, could he have had the Jameis launch jump off if he would have came back for year four? I think that's the big question with him. Now, with Trevin, he's not as big as Jamin Davis. I mean, Jamin Davis was 6'4", 230.
Yeah.
You know, just was, he had 2-3 inches on Trevin.
Right,
so
right.
Was that even possible for him to get to that? That's the big question. And what is the difference, I guess, if he comes back, it's in the late day two. What is the difference for late day two and mid-round four in the NFL a year earlier? You know, I think missing him was like a 50-50 decision, I think, when it gets Kentucky, but they get Jamin Dumas Johnson from Georgia. You know, that's a pretty daggone good replacement, like a play replacement for Trevin Wallace. And now Wallace coming to the NFL, be a draft pick. And linebacker, that's not a position they've produced a ton of picks in here recently. You know, you had Avery Williamson, Josh Forrest, and I think that's it in the Stoops here, unless I'm missing somebody on my head at all.
No, you had the run with Danny Trevathan and Woodyard.
Woodyard.
You know, yeah. But no, it did. There was quite a bit of a gap there. And hell, we saw Square on a roster for a while, and then he dealing with injury stuff and was never able to get back on there. But big year for Jamin, too, by the way. Like, that's a big contract year for him. New management. In Washington, so need him to play well. He was leading the team in tackles when he suffered a season-ending injury. Washington had a real bad year, but curious where, like you said, where Trevin will land, how he'll fit there, because there's also a month into the season, he was leading the SEC in sacks as an off-ball linebacker. So that ability to just see ball, get ball.
Yeah,
the
playmaking aspect, I think. Like, we've seen him make passing coverage, interceptions.
Yeah, yeah. That's attractive.
Then, you know, the sack production. Right, yeah absolutely.
So, fascinated to see where he ends up. Also curious how much he'll do at Pro Day, if he thinks he did enough here at this event, or if he'll do more. At the UK Pro Day, which we'll have later this month in Lexington. Those are the big three. There's three other guys who are also participating at the combine this week: Tavian Robinson, Devin Leary, and Jeremy Flax. Flax had an interesting week because
you think
he's a guy who nobody. I mean, we didn't even expect him to start, but now he might get drafted, right? Like, because he did well enough to go from Shrine Bowl to Senior Bowl, and now get invited and he could get drafted just based on size and his run blocking ability and the improvements he showed just from year to year. There's going to be a team that thinks like, oh, well, if he made a jump this big, then surely he's still got some more left in him. But all of that positive was met with a video of him getting in a fight in the locker room, which got released this week. And, you know, Tennessee fans were trying to act like it happened this week. It's like they're in full pads. Spring practice isn't happening. This guy's at the combine. The unusual part to me, though, Luckett, is in your Flax, you should probably try to distance yourself from it. And he denied. He quote tweeted and said, "How could that be today if I'm at the combine right now?" Which, if I'm him, I'm just like, oh, that's not me. That was somebody else in that locker room fight. Yeah, well, a little bit of a weird week for our boy Jeremy Flax.
Yeah, I think just Flax's profile, 2-year starter in SEC at tackle. It's a position that's hard to find. Like, they burn through these tackles, and there's going to be like some of them taken in the first round of this draft. Just a hard position to find. So if you have that and the size, which he has, there's obviously some stuff, I think, to like him as a player. But you're right. Like, does he sneak into – really, we're talking – does he sneak into the seventh round like Georgia Sopo and Jay, Phil Hoskins did? I think he's kind of in that tier of recent Kentucky draft prospects. But, yeah, the Vic, I think that those things happen all the time in a football locker room. That was just a typical probably Wednesday in fall camp. And so that stuff happens. But, yeah, I just don't – I think, one, it was released at the perfect time because there's nothing else going on. Like, we didn't have 40 times to overreact to yet, right? We're not in the pro day portion of the calendar. The only thing really going on in college football right now is playoff expansion talk. And so I think people kind of jumped on that just based on timing. Even in, like, college basketball's in, like, we're just in the waiting period until March. NBA's not in every, you know, it's just kind of a dead spot in the sport calendar. And so I think that's what drove some of the reaction. But, yeah, a little surprising that Flax weeks to do that. This has to do that while he's at the combine, but maybe it's something, Nick, you just, like, they're all asking about it, so why not just go ahead and address it? Like, yeah, that was me.
Yeah, big deal. True. It wasn't the best fight video either. I mean, it was a great suplex, but I think the bigger question is, like, come on. Well, how'd this get out? Like, why we got to let these videos out? And I had a feeling there might have been a former player with an axe to grind who was trying to make a splash.
That just smells like something that probably you're probably in the ballpark on that. Like, a lot of stuff happens in these. You're going to have people that don't like each other, and there's going to be fights and kerfuffles and yelling matches. But you're right, perfect world, it doesn't get out. But we've got phones now, right? So stuff's captured, and stuff is going to occasionally get out. But to me, like, Nick, no one's going to remember that in 2 weeks.
No. Right. I don't know. Has the sheriff gotten the investigation? I'm surprised I know he's still trying to track down where Ashton Hagen's got his money phone. We'll see if he can get to the bottom of this, too. But you're right. Everybody's got phone nowadays, and the best thing you can do on your phone is download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, because it's America's number one sportsbook for a reason. It's easy to use. They've got all the prop bets you want to get in on the action today with March Madness right around the corner. It's time to get in that groove, right? Nothing better than when you got that big plus number about a week ago with the Cats. You got it at Mississippi State as well. So go ahead, download the FanDuel book app today, and new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any $5. That's $150 guaranteed. Just head on over to FanDuel.com/personnel, sign up today, or put in the promo code personnel when you sign up at FanDuel today. Must be 21 plus, present in Kentucky. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Wicket, the one thing,
Charles, sir, Nick. Now you're muted. Nick's muted here.
Okay, now I'm unmuted, right?
There he is. You're back.
We're dealing with so many technical difficulties. I appreciate y'all bearing with us. We won't chew up too much more of your time, but I did want to share this, Luggett, because the people we've talked to who know stuff around UK and really everywhere else, and even just asking Tavian Robinson on the record, Dakiel Shorts has got a lot of early fans during his short stint at Kentucky. Tavian really lit up when he was asked about Dakiel Shorts, and there was kind of a, man, I wish I got to talk to that guy. I wish I got to play for that guy. So I, That was a hire that I thought Stoops couldn't miss on. That was really important to unlocking the potential in that very talented wide receiver room. And just the more I hear, like I've only heard good thing. It sounds like these receivers have bought in and are picking up what he's putting down.
Yeah, I think that's for sure. I even think some recruiting returns have been pretty good, Nick. Kentucky's right in the running for four-star Kimber Miller out of New Jersey. So he's doing some good things, I think, on the recruiting trail as well. And so we talked to some people this weekend. That's one of the bigger, I think, storylines for us from Kentucky-centric is that really been impressed with him. And then, like, Tavion, they're only a few years apart. I believe Shorts is 28 years old. You know, so Tavion, fifth year in college, he's 23
maybe, yeah.
They're not that far apart. So there's that aspect. You know, there's the relatable aspect.
Yeah, yeah.
Played receiver, West Virginia. Played at a Power 5 program. So there's that experience there that I think even Stoops mentioned that he can bring to the table. And so that's good because you're right. That's an important position. And it's one of the three of the five full-time staff, 60%, turned over this offseason. Quarterback, OC, O-line, receivers. And so receivers disappointing last year. Be better this year. So you have a lot riding on him. And I think what he's been on the job 2 months, essentially. Yeah. I think he's checked at least some boxes from a 1,000-foot point of view. You know, we're not in the building, but good recruiting returns, positive returns regarding the players, it seems like. That's all you can ask for at this point.
Yeah, no. So I like what I'm hearing, but there's not a. It's the thing with like Bush is like I do get the sense talking about when you ask people about Bush or about Brock, there is a you don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. So I feel like people have been a little bit
opposite of last year.
Exactly. That people aren't wanting to do that, but they can't say anything but good things about Shorts. Like there's no other way around it. And after that was such a big issue last year, the leadership in that room, that's just very encouraging. So if nothing else happens, if you take nothing else away from combine, I'm just at least leaving here confident that Kentucky has upgraded in its wide receiver room. Tyrus Abrams-Drain, who was teammates with Jamori Macklin back at Missouri, and he's one of the best route runners been around, and route running was a problem in that room. So that's an upgrade, right? So I'm feeling a lot better about Kentucky's receivers than I did before we got to Indianapolis yesterday.
Yeah, you just said, I mean, talent retention was good right in that room. You get everybody back. Mac was a big, I think, portal win for that room. And so just they should be better, right? Just common sense. They should be better. But they need to be a lot, maybe a lot better. You know, they just need more consistency. Need drops to not be an issue. Need to be able to create separation, get open, create each with the quarterback. And so it's a huge position. But, Nick, I think it's a little important to note out it's a contract year in that room.
Yep.
It's a contract year for Jamori Macklin. It's a contract year for Barry and Brown. A contract year for Dane Key. It's, in some ways, it's put up or shut up time. Like, this is, you know, to reach dreams is the year where you put it all together and you go do it, right? So their plan probably both was to be three done and go to the NFL. They have the opportunity to do that. And then Macklin, of course, he's trying to be like Ray Davis and use Kentucky to take that final step in his collegiate career. Like, you got to go do it now. This is it for you. And so that is, I think, the most important thing, I think, to watch for the receiver. Because there's no time for messing around right now. Like, you got to go do that to get
go make your money
go. And new coach can, I think, take advantage of that motivational leverage that you're going to have in that room. And hopefully that leads to good things for an offense breaking in a new coordinator and breaking in a new quarterback.
Motivational leverage. That's a great term. Love it. Absolutely love it. One thing that I do think
this is why I make big bucks. This is why On3 sends us here. Because of work like that.
One thing that I do think is going to help them too offensively, they're finally putting the microphones in the helmets. We're getting coach to player helmet communication in college football next year. Russ Dillinger reports 3 new rule changes, 2 of which I like, which we talked about all the steps that you had to go through a year ago just to get a play call in. Cohen would call on the sideline. The sideline would signal in the league. Leary would look at his wristband. He would read it wrong, and sometimes the wrong play would get shared to the huddle, and then they go to the line, and it's just a mess. Now the Bush Hamden is going to be up in the booth. He can talk to the quarterback until there's 15 seconds on the play clock. Why is that significant, too, with that 15 seconds? Bush operates out of a no-huddle, check-with-me type deal. He can do that without him having to check with the sideline. Like, they can get lined up, and he can talk. He can speak with them until 15's on that clock. So that part I'm fascinated by. That was a big reason. Like, there's a myriad of reasons why Kentucky was one of the slowest offenses in the country. Third and long, run efficiency, right? Those played a part. But some of it was just the operation. This will speed up the operation significantly. And that, and even more deliberately, they're out of excuses for running at a snail's pace, right? Like, there's no more excuses.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, the fan base got fed up with that, right, last year, that pace play. That was one of the bigger talking points, I think, of the whole season. We need more plays, need more plays, need more plays. Like, Nick, the backup running back barely got any work for Kentucky because they simply could not run enough plays. And so, yes, I think Bush and him, that was a big, I think, talking point. Simplification. College friendly. All of that leads to, you know, getting out of the West Coast, high volume words, play calls, and the extensive, sometimes complicated verb, and getting into maybe 3, 4, 5 word calls potentially, and operating out of a no huddle, check with me system. Like, having the that in your head, that this is just going to help. I also want Tennessee, does it allow them to play faster, like even faster than they're playing right now, right? Like, what's the unintended consequence of this rule change? Like, for these NASCAR tempo teams, are you allowed to play, can you play faster when you're just, you've got the speaker in the, and what are the advantages if you operate in a system where you get, where you snap the ball before 15 seconds, where you can talk to the quarterback the whole way through, you could see the picture, and you could be like, oh, they're going to run, you know, whatever coverage here. Look to this on this play.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, how that, and how college play callers on both offense and defense, I'm trying to manage that. Offense is bright because you're talking to the quarterback who's kind of calling everything, especially on, if he's throwing the football. Defense is, you, usually the mic or the inside linebacker, and then, you know, you don't want to overcomplicate it because then he tried to explain the message to everyone else with plays about this. Yeah, you know, doing too much. So that's going to be interesting to me to see if there's any hidden advantage in this that teams going to be able to take advantage of.
I hope Kentucky can take advantage of it. I like that they're also implementing tablets. I do not like the new 2-minute warnings. We don't need more commercial breaks. We've got plenty. I know the rules change under 2 minutes where the clock stops, but after first downs. But you know what? You don't need to have a timeout break to do it. They're already selling it as something different. Like, oh, well, we already had this TV break built in. Now we're not going to use it after a touchdown and a kickoff. It's like bull crap. We're TV execs are going to make more money. This is annoying. I don't like that. I feel like it's an unnecessary change. But you know what? The TV execs, the cash cows, they rule everything. So, yeah, just we got to deal with it.
Yeah, personally, I don't think you need it when you're like, that's the whole point of stopping the clock for 2 minutes. To me, like, you don't need to have a 2 minute warning if you're stopping the clock under 2 minutes. But we're after first downs, of course. To me, again, see, what are the unplanned changes this has? Timeout usage to me. Like, I think you can more for the burn timeout in the first quarter or in the third quarter. If you got the 2 minute warning, that's an additional timeout. And then, what's the first score, coach, to really botch this situation or forget about the 2 minute warning, right? Like, who messes it up? First, and that's going to be, I think, a big storyline this season, especially, you know, obviously close games, especially when some bigger games start to happen on schedule. And that's going to take, I think, adjusting to some college coaches. It's just different having that. How you have the math for how you manage the clock, and what your card said, what to do with a certain clock situation. The book says it's going to have to, you know, it changes the calculus for you a little bit. And so that's interesting to see how that plays out. I think in the games, Nick, it's going to, like, in the games, they're going to last a long time. If these teams got all these timeouts and the 2 minute warning now, it makes it harder to run out the clock in these end of half situations. So it's going to potentially, you know, people got upset about, you know, last the rule change, the clock changes, like limited possessions. This is potentially going to add a possession and a half potentially at the end of games, first half and second half. So very fascinated to see how it all plays out. Again, I think it's silly to have a 2 minute warning and stop the clock because just like you're pretty much begging teams to come, right? Like you're trying to extend the game as much as possible to do that, but that's the method that or the road they decided to travel down, and you're right why they did it. I mean, it's a TV thing. Let's get some commercials here at the end of a big game, right, so we can build up the bids for what's going to come.
It's a real crock, but we'll be dealing with it. We appreciate you all dealing with our internet issues here. It hasn't been great, but we'll get out of here, spare your ears a little bit, and give you some more content next week where we should be back on a regular schedule Thursday night, if I'm not mistaken. Or do we got a Wednesday night basketball game next week? I think we got one more Wednesday night, don't we?
I'm not sure. Well, and it's Vandy senior night,
which went so well last year for Vandy senior night. Either way, we'll get back onto a regular schedule off the Fridays. I know March Madness coming up. That'll throw things for a loop as well. So we'll change things up. Oh, Kentucky plays on a Wednesday. Either way, we'll get things back on track at some point. Get you all some fresh content out there. I appreciate you all following us along. We got plenty more coming from the Combine throughout the weekend, all Friday into Sunday. Isaiah West is announcing his decision tonight. Could be a night commitment for the Cavs.
2 hours.
Yeah, 7 p.m. tonight. So stay tuned.
Good player there. Good player there.
Yep. Could be a good solid
get. Jay Boyer, nice recruiting win.
Yeah, definitely. Well, we're going to get out of here, try to fix our internet. Until then, go Cats and go Kroger.